This episode is so timely. We didn't take several months to publish this one. Look at
how dare you even say that?
How dare you suggest that we would do such a thing?
Us unorganized, you know the fuck you're talking to.
I am the Lizard King.
Okay.
Did I say that? What? No, okay. This is already off to a really weird start, and it's about to get weirder because Catherine and I just decided something fun.
We're gonna read our horoscopes.
We're gonna read our horoscopes.
If you don't believe in horoscopes, high key, I don't know if I do either.
Oh, I don't.
But I mean, these are fun.
I like the people who are really into it, though, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're a Gemini?
Yeah, like, Nora's going through a phase right now. It's really cute. It's like, oh my god, you're such a Virgo. And I'm like, I've heard that.
You're such a Libra.
Anybody that's...
You're like, a Libra, aren't you?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh,
okay. As I just said.
Okay.
Anybody that's, like, really into astrology, as soon as they meet me, they're like, you're such a Virgo. And I'm like... Great.
It's almost like the people who would feel comfortable just making that assessment of you would be the people who would know your birthday.
I mean, facts, but still.
I asked if you were Libra, and I didn't know, so. That was maybe not a good move on my part.
Ahead with your...
So, I'm going to use astrology.com for mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Sagittarius. So, I have not read, I just pulled this up. It says, music could bring you a lot of joy today, so listen to your favorite tunes whenever you can. While you're getting ready in the morning, running errands, cooking, cleaning, or doing some other type of semi-mindless activity, and singing at the top of your lungs is not only advised, it might just be required to keep a smile on your face.
Okay, so how do you feel about that?
I feel pretty, I don't know how to, is that supposed to, like, be, like a, that's such a Sagittarius thing, like, that's really just vague.
Yep, as horoscopes like, even usually
for,
are.
No, but even for a horoscope, that's just, like, you need to listen to music today, and it's just, like,
okay, thanks for that.
Some intrinsic quality about myself gave me this response. Something.
But like later tonight, you'll be listening to music, and you'll be like, wow.
You know what's so funny? My horoscope today said I should listen to music, and then I walked into the Hy-Vee Superstore,
and they were playing music.
Oh my gosh. Like, so crazy. Horoscope, scary accurate. I can't believe this. Astrology.com wants to show notifications, so I'm going to hit block on that. But guys, let me know in the comments. Guys, let me know in the comments if you think this horoscope is horoscope.
For anybody that gets the reference, first of all, hey bestie. Second of all,
let us know. There's no comment section to this.
Let us know on Twitter at OKCatherine with 2 K's,
or at History_TimePod, or at Blander Anderson. The more Bland Anderson.
Yes, look at us getting the
plugs in.
Yes.
This is such a high energy episode. Why are we not always like this? Okay, Catherine, what's your horoscope saying?
So I'm using the app CoStar, which is a little bit more hyper specific, I believe. So
it learns your behavior,
I guess. Today you feel like a petri dish for your desires. You should be believing. I don't want to read that out loud,
but, okay.
Also,
the petri dish metaphor, do they know we're in the middle of a panoramic?
We're in the middle of parallelogram.
We're literally in the middle of the Pan-German League. And they are out here.
We are in Pangea right
we
now.
We are in a Panda Express.
That was good. Fist bump for that one. That was really good.
Yeah, no, but the petri dish thing, like, do they not know the carnivorous is out there? There is literally...
Why are they getting better?
The carnivore can strike at any time.
Right. No, it's so bad. So this month, you are ready to say exactly what you're thinking. This is commendable move for someone who will agree in order to avoid an argument. I feel like that's false.
That is the most... You fight for fun! How many... You, like...
I'm not confrontational, but if you say dumb stuff around me and expect not to get called out, you are... mistaken.
It depends on the setting, definitely. Like,
I mean, when it comes to like politics or like, you know, like anything like that, I will correct
when
you.
When I think about like your AP World class that I tutored, Just like some of the dumb things that were said in that room.
The way I just stayed silent. I chose. Oh my god.
You could have chosen violence, but you did not.
Gosh, I'm.
Ugh.
Okay. Channel your pleasure into things that ground you. On it. I'm on it. Your main challenge right now is to ask yourself if a relationship has stopped working, or to take time to clear out and unload yourself. Okay.
All right.
It's okay to have disagreements, even when you're in love. Conflict gives every plot motion. There can be no meaningful story without it.
Okay, that whoever wrote this horoscope did not see the film Lost in Translation. or like, what about, but like, you can't bring up conflict with, like, as like a metaphor without talking about resolution.
Also, like, none of that is happening in my
none
life.
Of that is happening in your
the
life.
The only thing happening in my life is debating, so I don't know what.
Quite, yeah.
I don't know. And like school.
Yeah.
So.
And those.
College. Applications.
Hey girl, it's
the only thing I'm in love with is DoorDash at the moment, so.
The only thing that I'm in love with is the 5-4 podcast.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Catherine, for getting me hooked on that. True crime.
Oh,
documentaries
true crime
on Netflix.
Been hitting so differently recently.
WandaVision.
I don't know what that is. You sound excited about it.
It is a new show on Disney Plus about my favorite Avenger, Scarlet Witch. Well, she's not the Scarlet Witch yet, but Wanda Maximoff, and it's so good. If you're a fan of Marvel, you need to watch it.
Well,
that's my recommendation for today. Do you have anything to plug?
Let me think. Oh, yes. I do have somebody to plug, actually. One of my friends, he doesn't know I'm doing this, but one of my friends is a Twitch streamer, and
if you don't know what that is, neither do I.
They're
Catherine,
like,
explain
they're
that.
Like YouTube, but like live stream.
Oh, okay.
And he had me on to debate somebody like a couple weeks ago, I think.
Catherine, you debated someone? Did your horoscope tell you nothing?
Their name is Jupocracy. So Jupocracy.
You didn't have to spell it out. You know, you could.
Okay.
You could let them know in the comments.
I'm letting you guys know in the comments.
Let them know in the comments.
So go check out his Twitch. He's a freaking awesome streamer. His setup is so fucking dope. Probably one of the smartest dudes I've ever met.
Is this podcast explicit?
This one, yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's good to know. We're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Weird.
So go check him out. He's a G. Yes, that's
exactly.
All I got to plug.
You have a quote for today, Catherine?
I wish I did.
You wish you did.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all.
I don't.
That's all. Do you have any original quote then? What's
okay.
An original quote?
Okay, this isn't original, but it just came to my mind, but I don't know who it's from. Don't let your mind be so like. Don't let your mind be so open that it falls out.
Wow.
I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, I feel like when we challenge our beliefs, like, we all want to do that, right? Like, it's only intellectually, like, good for you to challenge yourself. However, if you're so open-minded about every single one of your beliefs, then your mind can fall out. Like, what do you stand for if you don't have a couple things that you're not willing to let go of, you know? That's something that's been on my mind. I've been revisiting a lot of my beliefs for the first time in a couple years. So I've had to confront that.
So the quick Google search I did, so that is from Walter Kochnig, the American academic and diplomat of Austrian Jewish origin.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take him at his word, and don't let your mind be so open that it falls out.
Exactly.
And with that, let's jump straight into the episode.
Well, so this episode we're trying something
new.
I have this book called, this is an explicit episode, because this book is called F**king History.
Oh, yeah.
It's 111 Lessons You Should Have Learned in School, written by the Captain.
Wow.
Love that name. So what Catherine and I decided to do is that we're just going to flip to a random page, and then she and I are going to just tell that story, where it's like Russian roulette with our podcast. So I just flipped to page 74, so you can't pick that one.
Okay.
Just pick a page.
And I just flipped page 30.
Okay. So, 30th. We know what we're going to be talking about today. I mean, we do what we don't, so with that, we are going to get started. When we come back, we're going to have a new, exciting, fun, fantastic, show-stopping, never-been-seen-before episode of History Time for you guys. So grab your snacks,
relax,
and enjoy this episode of History Time. All right, and welcome back. I'm sure you guys missed this. I know I have. So again, Catherine and I today just kind of played Russian roulette with this book, King History,
yeah,
by the Captain. So the random page I flipped to was page 74, which tells the story of Countess Loretta of Sponheim.
Oh.
And it takes place in the 1320s and the 1330s and the 1340s.
Wow.
There's a lot that's going to go on here. So, Catherine, are you ready to meet a hashtag girl boss?
I'm strapped in.
You're ready to just dive right into this anthology of the girl
indeed.
Boss.
Indeed.
Oh my god, I opened to it again. And, okay, here we go. So, the article, as it's titled by the captain, is called Outwit and Outlive, because guess what she's going to do, Catherine?
She's going to outwit and outlive.
So,
wait, so far she's giving me Catherine Pierce vibes from the Vampire Diaries. I don't know how accurate that is. Outwit and outlive sounds very Catherine Pierce.
So when I say she's a girl boss, I mean this was bold. So, Countess Loretta of Sponheim was wife of Heinrich II in Sponheim, which is a tiny independent country in what would become Germany. It wouldn't become Germany for another 5 or so centuries.
Okay.
But gotta work with it. There was a bunch of tiny independent things, and for a while, German unification is a whole thing that we're not gonna get into.
Talking about Otto? That makes me sad.
I'm so happy that you just brought that up. Mm-hmm. The Wars of Unification. The Siege of Paris. Oh my gosh. Ugh, this is a history podcast.
Yes.
So,
we're going to... Just a reminder.
Just in case you weren't aware. So, I love this story. So, unfortunately, she becomes a widow in 1323. Heinrich II passes away.
I'm so sad.
Not only is she a widow, she is a mother of three.
Oh no.
Her oldest son is named John, but that will become relevant in a minute. Not only does she become a widow at this time, she then becomes the hashtag girl boss of Sponheim.
Oh.
So, not only is she a widow, she's inheriting Sponheim at its lowest. There is poverty, conflict, crop failure, and other economic problems that she has to deal with. She does her best for about 5 years maintaining these problems, but the fact that Sponheim does not just entirely disintegrate with the power vacuum that would come from Heinrich's death is absolutely miraculous, and I think that's significant.
Oops.
So she does well for about 5 years, then enter this one little prickly, dastardly foe with the most pretentious title, Archbishop Baldwin of Luxembourg.
God, he sounds horrible.
So he's wild. He's also the brother of Holy Roman Emperor Henry VII.
The whole family.
It's a family affair.
Holy crap.
To be honest, I don't know the significance of Henry VII, and I didn't look into researching it because the Holy Roman Empire doesn't really interest me at this point.
Okay.
Is that fair? Can I say
that?
That's fair.
We're on to bigger things.
We're on to bigger things, like small Germanic independent countries.
Yes.
He is now saying that he has the rightful claim to her land that she's been being a hashtag girl boss on for 5 years. And she's been maintaining this this place and low-key thriving with it, so she's not about to cede this land. So what does she do, Catherine?
She does what girl bosses do. Does she kill him?
No. But like, I want to hear what you think.
Does she start a whole war?
No.
Any drone strikes? 1300s?
any drone strikes from the hashtag girl boss? No. That one's topical. My dog is barking because he knows the answer to this.
Okay. Sorry, your dog is smarter than I.
Countess Loretta of Sponheim has the Archbishop Baldwin of Luxembourg kidnapped.
Oh, girl boss.
Girl boss move. Okay. So, my dogs are just absolutely going wild right now. If you can hear them.
They're just excited.
They're excited. Girl boss. They're excited for a girl boss. We should have like a tally in the comments how many times we say hashtag girl boss.
Leave in the comments below.
Guys, let us know in the comments. This is by far the most annoying segment. So she has his ass kidnapped.
Yep.
While he is traveling. And so she snatches him and imprisons him for a significant amount of time, does not let up. She holds him in her clutches until... My dogs are barking really loud.
They are. But I think it's okay.
Okay. She holds him in his clutches until he changes his mind. Until he's like, okay, fine.
He's like, never mind.
Or this is whatever.
This is taking too long.
But then, guess what else she does?
What?
Declares a ransom. She says, okay, but if you want to be free, you need to pay me a significant sum of money.
She's such a girl boss.
Yep. Okay, so it goes like this. She, first of all, kidnaps him when he has hostility towards her. She also gets excommunicated, but that's kind of irrelevant by this point because that doesn't stop her.
Right. Why would it?
Why would it stop her?
Why would she do that?
Yeah, so she maintains her jurisdiction,
yes,
and her power and her sovereignty until her oldest son John can take the throne in 1330. So what did she do with this ransom? Well, it provided economic stability for Sponheim, but it left over some money. It left over some funds for her. So her son takes the throne in 1330, and then she uses the remains of these funds to build her infamous Frauenburg, which translates to Lady Castle.
I love it.
Because, like, Lady Castle, Frauenburg. So she dies in 1346, but the Frauenburg still stands. Frauenburg still exists. Wow. It's this magnificent castle. It's not magnificent, it's a 13th century castle. Or it's a 14th century castle, excuse me.
That's fine.
But, like, you know, good for her. So my not so gentle segue is something I feel like a lot of people are asking with this new inauguration, and that is, does the vice president not live at the White House?
No,
they live, the vice president, she lives at number one observatory circle, which, yeah, I think is, like, if you look it up, it's kind of like, it's a cute little White House, you know?
it's the house is actually adorable. She's going to have to dust whatever Mike Pence left in it, though.
She's gonna have to, like, get some sage and burn it. But she's a hashtag girl boss.
Yep.
The smart ones are gonna make the connection. Joe Biden.
No.
This article from Insider says, Joe Biden won't be the only one getting a housing upgrade when he moves into the White House later this month as the 46th president of the United States. So
I wonder if Mike Pence got these articles written about him.
I know. So, here we have...
Donald Trump is not the only one getting a housing upgrade. Mike Pence is also getting a housing upgrade.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So, So, Kamala Harris is really pulling a, if you ask me, she's pulling a Loretta. She's pulling a Loretta.
You gotta admire it.
Of Sponheim.
You know,
she's building this house after this one arrogant man has been ousted for trying to overstay his welcome.
That's awkward.
So yeah, if you've learned anything from my spontaneous segment, it's that hashtag be a girl boss, rule your kingdom, be clever, take his money and build yourself a castle.
So true.
Yeah. Okay, so that was fun. That was a fun little cute little tangent that I thought I could bring to the group today.
I loved it. It was beautiful.
You did. Okay. So now it's Catherine's turn. So if you gotta take a break, go ahead and do so now. And when we come back, Catherine's going to tell you an exciting, also female-driven story.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, so if you have to take a break, go ahead and do that. But when you come back, there's going to be more his story time.
All right, so I flipped to page 30 of F asterisk King history.
That is what it says. Like, if it had the actual word, I would say it.
Yeah, too, we would say it, but it's just so much more comedically effective to not say it, so we choose not to.
It's a it's definitely a rhetorical choice.
No, yeah, so true. Gosh. Okay, so the name of the story is called The Strap of Wrath, which... What do you think? What do you think when, like, I say that? What
I think goes through your mind? Well, the first thing that goes through my mind is, like, well, this podcast will be labeled as explicit, so they will know... They will know what's coming. Like, they're not going to be totally surprised when this... What was it called? The Strap of... When the Strap of Wrath comes out. I'm kind of nervous but excited.
Yeah, me too. Imagine how I felt about it. So, we expose the story by learning about one artist, John Singer Sargent. So, let's talk about him.
Oh.
So, Sargent was born in Italy in 1856, sorry about that, to an American doctor and a social climber mother. That's very interesting. So, apparently, his parents, like, socialized at the edges of, like, the wealthy class, I guess, if that makes any sense. So Sargent was really, like, concerned with financial means, almost. But he chose to be an artist. So.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. He was an artist. So, essentially, John Singer Sargent here was kind of known for, like, being, like, quite a good artist. He had a lot of connections due to his family being, like, you know, pretty well off in the context of the time.
He could take a risk.
And... Yeah, he could take a risk, although he took a couple risks here. I don't know how it went for him. So in 1915, this John character commissioned one Emile Guitreau to pose for him for this, like, timeless piece that they were gonna, like, adventure on, And... Gosh, it's interesting. So let's talk about Emile. So Emile was actually a well-known socialite of the time, which is quite interesting.
I thought you were about to say socialist, and I was going to be like, spicy.
Dude, that would have been so funny. But no, she was a socialite, and she was... Ooh, dogs.
My dogs. Hey, guys, you're meeting my dogs this episode.
Yep, so true. So Emile was daughter to she was born in Virgine. Yeah. Yes. In New Orleans, Louisiana, on the 29th of January of 1859. And she was daughter of French nobility. And her grandmother was actually founder of a lot of plantations. Also, a senator and a judge.
Oh.
So, there's that.
There is
that. Going on. So
there's a lot going on.
So she didn't really have to worry about financial things in her life. She was, you know, just kind of chilling. She was exposed to the French social scene when she was, like, super young. She had, like, one of those coming out parties, you know what I mean?
What are those called?
Like, debutantes and stuff. Cotillions.
Cotillions?
Well, cotillions are, like, to prep you for the debutante.
Are you serious? I love how you know this. Were you like involved with this? Did you have one?
We don't
one?
Talk about it. We don't
Did
talk
you actually?
About it. Well, like for King Sierra stuff, I had to like prepare for
theme
it.
Stuff. I'm sorry. I'm Rainy Rodriguez just needs to be.
Yeah. So that's kind of what Emile's life was, right? She was known for being like this beautiful woman. She fit like all the beauty standards of the time. Apparently, she had like this hourglass figure that was like awesome, and like she had like red darling hair and like porcelain smooth skin. I hate describing her like that because I feel like I'm like Hank Green describing a woman protagonist, you know how he's super like specific. So that was Emile, and her reputation was actually really, really good. she was kind of known for, you know, all of that. Everybody was like, oh, I either want to be her or I want to her.
Oh.
You know?
That,
yeah.
You mean they want to F asterisk?
So true. So that was kind of her reputation. So this seemed like an excellent pairing, Sergeant and Emil. It was supposed to
I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah, it was like a perfect pairing.
Uh-huh.
So apparently during the process of like making this painting, it was a little difficult for Emil because she hadn't posed for anything of that sort yet. But they got through it. And on the night of, you know, this like painting like reveal, they're so excited. However, the debut was, and I quote, this is from the book, a fucking disaster.
Oh.
The painting was met with ridicule and repulsion, leaving both parties horrified and humiliated.
Okay, where does the strap of wrath come in?
So, the strap of wrath...
I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. No. I'm just so excited.
No, it's perfect timing. The strap of wrath was referring to Emil's dress, right?
Oh, no.
And she was wearing a black dress, a black long dress, but one of the straps was, like, bejeweled, right? And it had slipped off ever so slightly to the side.
Was that the scandal?
Yeah.
What?
Because apparently it just didn't fit, like, the moral standards of the time. It was considered, like, lewd and, like, you know, this, like, risque thing.
That woman's shoulder is fully exposed. Shoulders.
In fact, it was referred to as a salacious strap, which I think is beautiful. So apparently this completely destroyed Emil. Like, she was, like, 20 at the time.
Oh.
But it, like, absolutely decimated her in the Paris social scene. So much so that she lived her life from 1915 on in complete and absolute obscurity.
Oh, no.
Like, she became a hermit, and story even said, legend says that this woman took the mirrors off her, like, no mirrors in the house. In fact, her mother was quoted saying that the entirety of Paris was laughing at her daughter.
Oh, no.
I'll read one of the reviews from this fateful night. Sargent is below his usual standard this year. ... The pose of the figure is absurd and the bluish coloring atrocious. The features are so exaggerated that the natural delicacy of an outline is entirely lost.
Oh, my gosh.
End quote. Under Sargent's brush, the so-called beautiful subject looked like a mere caricature.
Oh.
Yeah, so they got # roasted. Yeah,
why
so...
Why can't she just be a girl boss?
Well, this is where we come in, right?
Okay.
So...
Does she become a girl boss?
God. In retrospect.
Okay, good.
So, the Met, or the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City actually did purchase this painting. However, it was originally called, like, usually these paintings are, like, woman, and then it's the name of the woman, if she's, like, yeah, nobility or whatever. So that's what it traditionally would have been, but it was so embarrassing, like, at the time, that the artist, Sargent, didn't want Emil's name attached to it, so they called the painting Madame X. Which is interesting. So, the Met purchased this, and regarded it as, like, you know, just, like, another purchase. However, now, in, like, the more, like, later 1900s, it's been regarded as Sargent's greatest work, and the portrait served as a fashion inspiration for a lot of artists, like, from now until, like, then. It's, like, revered as one of those most, like, beautiful pieces of art. Like, yeah. It's insane. And, like, I looked it up, and I thought it was beautiful. I'm not gonna lie. I'll look it up for Blake to slap. We'll get Blake's, like, reaction.
Is it part of the... Okay, part of the deal with artists, though, is that their significance and their worth increases with their death?
That's facts.
So, I
think
that.
It's interesting, because it opens up the conversation of how we view things in, like, retrospect. You know, the thing that's, like, hindsight is 20/20. So true, by the way. I think this is probably a good example.
I remember in elementary school, my music teacher showed us, like, that. Oh my gosh, that is beautiful. Like,
I know.
That is, I love it.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, though, my elementary school music teacher showed us that video of, like, the teenage girls freaking out with the British invasion and the Beatles. And the,
Beatles.
Like, you know, like, when they're on the Ed Sullivan show and it's on black and white and girls are, like, screaming.
Oh, yes.
How that's, like, so normal to us. But at the time, like, my... like music teacher was like, this was a big deal.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, oh. There's a rise of like stan culture almost.
Stan culture, yeah.
So yeah, I think it's really interesting. I also think the painting is freaking beautiful. I'm not even gonna lie to you. And it just proves that a good black dress is fucking timeless.
Is it black?
It's a black dress and it's Ooh. Beautiful, and I would probably cut my arm off to wear it. So also, I think Madame X looks beautiful in it. Mm-hmm. Emile, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Also, it opens up a conversation about how, like, people just like to hate women.
No, it's a good Twitter name, too. Madame X.
Ah! It's like Gossip Girl, but, like, of the modern age.
But intellectual, also.
Yeah.
That's, so, it's a little pretentious, but, like...
It's fun.
You could just say you listened to the podcast and be like, yeah, like, I learned about
That's
it.
That's even more pretentious.
Well, now you guys know all about it.
Yeah, and so leave your thoughts in the comments below.
Guys, let us know in the comments.
I have to say that each and every time.
And every time I have to say, there are no comments, this is a podcast.
Yes.
So, yeah. Do you have any final words about this episode about being a girl boss?
Well, I don't know if we can... You know, she was a girl boss. Because after all, every girl is a girl boss. Inside.
She didn't. Here's the thing. She could have been, but society hindered
Shut
that.
Shut her down.
Shut her down. And her isolation was her own doing. It was never her voice saying she wasn't enough.
It was society.
It was society's. And then society's voice and her voice became one, unfortunately.
That was beautifully put.
Thank you. I try to be succinct, but I never really get there.
You just, like, get close.
I just get pretty close, and then I'm like, you know.
That's fun. That's the closest we're gonna get.
The closest we're gonna
so
get.
So, I hope y'all enjoyed the episode of History Time.
Being a girl boss.
Being a girl boss.
In my case, where we have a girl boss political leader who's gonna move into a castle and, you know, do girl boss things.
and then, mine, a French socialite. Killed by society.
Girl boss defeated.
Oh my god. Blake, am I a girl boss?
Guys, let us know in the comments. Is Catherine a girl boss or not?
Yes.
I wish I could be a girl boss, but I don't think I don't think I'll ever get there.
It's okay.
But it's okay.
You get the higher wage either way, so you're fine.
That is true. And I don't have to deal with the pink tax. So, ultimately, being a girl boss is not all it's cracked up to be, but it could be if men just realized their ignorance. So, with that, that's our hot take of the episode. We got it in. That was my attempt at being succinct. So, with that, we're going to say goodbye. So, thank you for tuning into this episode. Join us next time for another exciting historical event or two. So, yeah, catch you on the flippity flip.
Bye, Pod. Thank you.